Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid.
Guys, it's hard to start working out, and it's even harder to maintain working out, especially if you don't like your fitness routine, which a lot of times it can be dull, just for me personally, that's all I'm saying. But Peloton really keeps me motivated, mainly because I love the instructors and I feel like I'm losing my friends when I'm not on that bike. But also, Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. And like I said, the Peloton bike instructors not only are wonderful and feel like your friends, but they help keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, you know, take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build. So you're like, I want to make you proud of me. And Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you just don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Hey, weirdos. I'm Elena.
I'm Ash.
And this is Morbid. And it's Elena-centric.
It's Elena-centric.
So sit down and take a seat and get comfy.
Yeah, unbutton your pants because I bet you just ate a lot of stuffing.
Because while we record this, Thanksgiving hasn't happened yet. But by the time you get it, Thanksgiving has happened. So
that's weird.
Thanksgiving was delicious, everybody.
Oh my God, Elena's the best cook. I loved all the things that she made.
Everything came out perfect.
It was a breeze.
Oh, nothing lit a blaze in the kitchen.
My charcuterie boards were a hit.
They were.
The ones I pinned on Pinterest.
There you go.
As I was looking up curses too.
My garlic butter rub on my turkey just made it the moistest.
So I was going to say that I hated that you did a weird hand motion while you said rub.
But then I added moist.
And then you said moist and now I quit our podcast. So it's been real, everybody. Fucking nasty.
But either way, I hope everybody was safe. I hope everybody's healthy. I hope you all stayed put.
Yeah.
And stayed in your little pod.
Stay in your lane.
It's important. But yeah, everybody stay safe. And I'm glad that you're all here listening because it means you're safe. So good job.
Hey.
Good job. I don't think there's really any business that we have to catch up on for this episode.
Now we just have to get ready for like the holiday.
The holiday.
Christmas.
Christmas.
Or Hanukkah.
Or Kwanzaa. Or anything that you celebrate literally in December.
Anything.
Whatever you're celebrating that's...
Boxing Day.
There you go.
You know?
Whatever you're celebrating that happens during the winter. You know, let's
the
do
winter
it.
Solstice.
Let's do
I think
it.
That happens in December, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. I'm not real sure.
Everybody's going to be like, no, Ash. I think it actually does.
But either way, I mean, the next... We're talking about my birthday, right? That was the holiday we were talking about?
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just making sure.
Obviously.
The one everybody celebrates.
The biggest
that,
holiday so. Coming up. Elena's yeah. birthday is 3 days after Christmas.
Yeah.
But don't worry, Elena never gets ripped off.
I don't. The only thing that sometimes happens is people hand me my birthday gift with Christmas wrapping paper, and I get infuriated and I rage.
I think this time that I get you a birthday gift this year, I'm going to do half Christmas wrapping and half regular wrapping just to get you.
I'll be very angry.
We're going to get a new P.O. box and everybody send Elena Christmas gifts
don't
wrapped in Chris... No. Birthday gifts wrapped in Christmas wrapping
don't do
paper.
It infuriates
do
me.
Do it, infuriator.
I want birthday wrapping paper. What is so hard about... Why does everyone else get birthday wrapping paper and I still get Santa Claus? I don't understand that.
At least you're getting gifts.
Ugh. Whatever.
No, if my birthday was near Christmas, I would be exactly the same.
I was going to say, like you would be.
My birth, June birth, like, let me tell you why Geminis are the best, honey, because June birthdays, you get your birthday, and then 6 months later, it's Christmas. So you kind of get two birthdays in the year.
Well, you get to celebrate all year round. Like,
right.
It's like 6 months to each thing.
That's so. Why June birthday is yeah. like the best. Like, I'm going to plan to have my children in June.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let me know how that goes.
I will. I'll let you know.
So it's super easy to do. So I think this case that we're going to do today, I'm going to begin it by giving you a ton of information on this really good book I read because I devoured this book in
you
a matter
ate
of
it
one
up.
Night. Like sat down and was just like, rawr, 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 because it's so good.
wait, I'm sorry, what were you like?
Rawr, rawr, rawr. And it was so good. So
I wish that you could see the like hand motions that Elena uses
it
to
was
describe
like
things.
Monster. I used this book and then I used like a few articles and some newspaper clippings that I could find. And the way I found this book, which I'm going to mention in a second, was initially I was looking for like, I was just in, you know how you're in the mood for like an old timey murder?
Oh, yeah.
You just get in that mood. I'm in the mood for that a lot.
You and I have very different versions of old timey murders, though.
Yeah, I know we do. And that really hurts a lot. That hurts a lot of people listening, too. I just want you to know
that. No, I didn't mean the times. I meant like you like a really like fucked up old timey murder.
Oh, yeah.
I like an old Hollywood murder that's very glamorous.
That's a very glitzy murder.
Yes, I love a glitzy murder.
And I like those ones that you're like, oh. What
that's have
what
we
like.
Here?
And don't worry, this is one of those.
Awesome.
So initially, I was looking. I like to look through like true crime books and see what I can find. And I found this book called A Slayer Waits.
He does.
The True Story of a Michigan Double Murder. And it was by Rod Sadler. And I was like, ooh, this looks good. Which, by the way, I'm going to cover that case in another episode. But I looked at it and I was like, ooh, this looks good. I might cover this. And then it like linked to another one by Rod Sadler, the same author. And I was like, ooh, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it and it was called To Hell I Must Go. And I was like,
and
oh,
you were
that's
like,
the one.
Me too.
I was like, oh my God, he wrote about me.
You were like, on my way, Rob.
I was like, wow, Rod.
Oh, Rod.
Rod.
Sorry. Rodda.
So I saw this one, To Hell I Must Go. And I was like, that's it. I got to cover that one next.
Okay.
So that's how I got to this one. But I also discovered he's written a third book.
Shit!
Called Killing Women, A True Crime by Rod Sadler. And it's about a serial. It's amazing. So he has three true crime books. I highly recommend go read them because his writing is great. His research is great. The dude is, he's a retired police officer in mid-Michigan for 30 years.
Wow.
I think he just retired in like 2012.
Congratulations, Rod.
Yeah, he's amazing. And he started researching this particular case that I'm going to cover because his great-great-grandfather was the sheriff who worked on this case.
Oh my goodness.
And he initially just went on like Ancestry.com and like went to the newspaper at the local library and was like looking up stuff about his grandfather because he was like, cool, he's a sheriff. I'm
right.
a police officer.
Connection.
Fun. And then he found this crazy case that he worked on, and he just did a crazy deep dive on it, and it just opened this whole thing up.
All right.
So Rod just really killed it.
and I appreciate his work.
Because, on his way to hell, wow. He was like, I'm killing it.
He was like, I'm killing it. So this case is called the Michigan Lizzie Borden case by some.
Okay.
So that's what literally, like when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay.
I'm in.
I'm here. Here
that's
I am.
The only thing Alina has told me so far about the case.
That's all I've told you.
And I was like, well, shit.
Because I wanted to tell you everything. In fact, I literally just like word vomited this all over John last night. And he was like, wow. At the end of it, I was
like, he's like, hey, that's why you started a podcast and you didn't have to tell me all these fucked up things.
He was literally like, you just told me the entire story. Like, I walked by him while he was at his desk and I didn't have like a computer in my hands or anything. And I was like, can I just tell you a really quick thing? And I gave him a little tidbit about it, and then I ended up telling him the entire story. Just
how long could did not it take you to tell him?
I must have been standing there for at least 10 minutes, because I gave him, like, an overview. But at the end, he was like, whoa.
He was like, thank you for telling me that quick thing.
Wow. All right. So, Rod Sadler's great-great-grandfather, like I said, was the sheriff on this case. And his name was John Jacob. I believe it's pronounced Rell. It's R-E-H-L-E. He's of German descent.
Okay.
So I believe it's Rell. He calls him JJ throughout the book. And a lot of things I found have called him JJ because John Jacob.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
So I'm going to call him Sheriff JJ because I like it. It's adorable.
JJ.
And it works. So this takes place in Williamston, Michigan. It was on April 23rd, 1897. So good and old timey.
Oh, yeah.
We love it. We love an old timey. So Sheriff JJ received a telegram from Deputy J.W. Loringer. This telegram said that there had been a killing in town in Williamston and that he needed to come immediately.
Okay.
So he had to get on a train to get there. Like, it was a very 1890s.
Yes.
A very 1890s scene happening here.
The vibe was, like, so 1890s.
Yeah. So he gets there. He meets his deputy. The deputy kind of fills him in a little bit on what he's about to walk into.
Ruh-roh.
But he's like, even after hearing about it, I was like, they can't be that bad.
Oh, but was. You should never say that.
So he and the deputy arrived back on the scene where a huge crowd had gathered and they could smell the stench of burning flesh permeating the air.
Okay. Permeating.
Just permeating
Thank
that
you.
Air.
Thank you.
Flesh.
Oh, smell. You're like extra gross today.
A potpourri, if you will.
That is not poopery.
So this scene was a house located at 320 Elevator Street. It was described everywhere I saw it, and when you see the picture of it, you will agree. It's described as a shack, a literal shack. It's like it almost looks like a one-room house. Mm-hmm. It's just like a little square.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it did have a couple of rooms in it, but they must have been tiny.
Ooh,
like,
that stresses
very tiny.
Me out.
And it's, like, a very simple house. It only had, like, a few windows, no trees around it, just, like, open fields.
I don't like that.
No paint on the house, just wood.
I hate that.
When officers arrived, they noticed that the door was hanging on one hinge.
Oh, I hate that
door.
Even more.
And they were like, well, that's weird. They also saw what they described as, quote, large gouges and holes cut into the wooden door frame as if someone had hacked away at it.
Wow, that was literally
was that
the
really
perfect
loud?
Timing for that. That's the kids, like,
I wonder if anyone
downstairs.
Could hear that. That was a really loud scream.
And it was perfect.
That was so perfect. That was one of my children. Their new thing is that they've learned that they can scream, like, at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
And they're teaching the youngest one to do the same thing. So it makes for a really, really calming household.
Yeah, the environment is so chill here every single day.
Always.
I'm like, a good thing I dye my hair gray because it's probably just actually gray at this point.
Oh, 100%. But either so no one's like in trouble, by the way. That was a happy scream.
Yeah, don't worry.
But it really set the mood, though.
It did.
So thank you for that,
little
one.
Final girl vibes.
Yeah, love that. So the place was filthy.
Yuck.
It was clearly like I think it was described as like squalor. It was
like come on,
very
you had, like,
dirty.
Three rooms to clean.
I think it was just like real dirty. Just like, you know, there was, there's like, they said there was always plates, like dirty plates stacked everywhere. Very little furniture, very little things in there. Clearly these people did not have a lot of money at all.
Right.
Now, as soon as they went inside, they noticed a ton of blood pooled on the ground as soon as they walked through the door.
Mm-mm.
They also noticed that there was a ton of clumps of gray hair stuck in it.
Shut up. Ew.
And in the floor
were deep gouges, like a sharp instrument had struck the floor several times.
What the fuck?
Covered in blood. The couch was soaked. There were things overturned and thrown about, like they saw a picture frame that was shattered and covered in blood. The picture frame had no photo in it.
Ooh, I don't like that.
There was also a huge blood trail leading from the front door to the back of the home where someone had clearly been dragged.
Good.
Blood had soaked through the carpet. It splattered on the walls. They said it was the worst thing they had ever even imagined.
Yeah, in the 1890s.
Oh, yeah. Now, as they entered the kitchen, which was in the back of the house, they were met with a corpse on the floor.
Okay.
Now, this corpse was barely able to be seen as a human upon first glance because it had been burned and the clothing had been melted into it. They could really only see, like, hands sticking up in the air. There were slippers melted into the feet, clearly slippers.
Oh, so that tells me old. Yeah, it's although I'm wearing slippers at this very moment.
Well, let's not just assume, you know.
It makes an ass out of you and me.
But it was clear that the killer, because they could smell kerosene, it was clear that the killer had used kerosene to light the fire. And then it had been doused several times with water to put it out.
Oh.
Oh, it was missing its head, too.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That was like when they were like, oh, whoa, doesn't have a head.
Good.
They noticed that there was water all over the floor, like all over the floor, like buckets of water had been poured onto this floor. And they were like, what the fuck is going on?
So this person started a fire in the house and then put out said fire?
Well, we'll find out what exactly happened.
Because that's wild.
But yeah, so they're like, wow, okay, that's alarming. What's going on here? So they looked at the table to the left of them, and there were dishes like all over with rotting and disgusting food all over it.
I don't like that at all.
Then sitting on a platter in the middle of the table as a centerpiece with a fork and a knife set out next to it, was the severed head of an old woman, eyes wide open, surrounded by what looked like liters of blood.
What?
She had been set to look at one seat at the table.
What?
Her hair was completely red with blood.
What?
Yep. Like, mouth open, eyes open, just staring blankly into one of the seats at the table.
What?
What now?
Like, ew.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Fuck a whole bunch of that.
That's a bold centerpiece.
I mean,
it's a bold move.
You won't see that on Pinterest, I'm willing to bet.
You'll find curses on Pinterest, but you will not find this.
I literally want to type in like severed head centerpiece.
Honestly,
into
you probably
Pinterest.
Will find something on there.
I don't want to.
Because hashtag actually. The internet. Wow. But this old woman was clearly old. Her face was covered in bruises and lacerations.
Oh, no.
Part of her head had been like caved in.
Oh, my God.
She had clearly been beaten before being fatally brutalized and beheaded.
Oh my God, and she had her slippers on.
Yeah, so officers were retching. They were like puking.
Crying.
Not just at the sight of all this, because the sight enough, but the smell of the blood, the amount of blood in there, because blood smells.
Yeah, especially
it has
a lot
real,
of it.
And that much blood, ooh.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the blood, the kerosene smell,
burnt flesh.
Burning flesh. And then also, it's just not a clean house to begin with.
So it already has like
the amount of smells that are hitting these poor people walking into this house must have been outrageous.
Because there's rotting food too on the plates.
Exactly.
Ew.
So it's just every terrible smell you could ever think of.
Do you know what? I think a stinky house is number one on my list of fears.
There you go. No one wants a smelly house.
No.
I mean, you have kids, you're going to have certain smells in your house, like because kids pee and poop and like
I'm going to teach them. We're going to get an outhouse at my place.
We thought we had just got rid of we just got rid of the rug in our playroom for the kids because we were like, did one of you pee on this rug or did Bailey pee? Because Bailey's getting really old and she's starting to have a little trouble with that. So we were like, we'll just get rid of the rug. We'll get
my God.
Because it was smelling like pee. And then we figured out that it was pear juice that they had spilled, and it smelled like pee.
It does.
So warning to parents out there, pear juice smells a lot like pee.
Yeah, just like don't fuck with that. There.
But yeah, either way, kids smell.
Severed heads.
So they went into the bedroom because there's like two little bedrooms in this house. Like somehow, I don't know how they were. When you look at it, you're like, how?
Yeah, it's making my
little tiny bedrooms. They're probably like little pantries. I assume they're probably that size. They saw that the bedroom was also soaked in water and that the window had been broken in. And they saw, so they were like, what the hell happened here?
Right.
Like, did someone come in and do this? What happened? So once they went outside to get what, the, you know, because they were like, what, we need to find the murder weapon here. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Who did this and what did they do it with?
Or even, like, is there tracks leading up to the window?
And they, well, they noticed that they saw another blood trail leading to the back set of stairs. And when they looked under the stairs, ton more blood under there, and they found a completely gore-saturated axe.
Oh.
So, the murder weapon.
Saturated in gore.
Now, the woman in question here that had her head separated from her body in a most aggressive way was Mariah Haney.
Mm-hmm.
Mariah Haney was somewhere between 80 and 85 years old.
Oh my God, and that's how
which
she went?
Back then,
she was like 112.
She would have been on the Smucker's jar on the Today Show.
Oh my God.
She was so old.
Love that comparison.
Like, she was so old.
And what's her advice for us?
Her advice for us would be, don't move in with your daughter-in-law. That's what it would be.
Oh my God, daughter-in-law. So, okay.
That's just a little hinty hint for
well,
what's going
shit.
On. Now, some sources I see, she's like 80, 82, and then some, but I will go with Rod Sadler because I trust Rod.
He wrote three books, I
just
mean.
Trust him. And he says 85 years old, so I'm okay. going with 85. So Mariah never got along with her daughter-in-law.
You know, it's rare.
It's rare. It really is. I feel very lucky that I get along with my mother-in-law.
I'm pretty lucky with Annie's mom.
Yeah.
She's technically not my mother-in-law yet, but...
But it's rare.
It's
a very rare thing. So they didn't get along, but they, like, really didn't get along.
Ruh-roh.
Like, they did not like each other at all. Her daughter-in-law's name was Martha, and she had actually tried to convince her son, Alfie... His name was Alfred Haney.
Alfie
but they
is
called
my
him
favorite
Alfie.
Name. We almost named Lux Alfie.
She had tried to convince Alfie not to marry Martha.
Wow.
But he had gone ahead and done it. She didn't trust her. She thought she was very odd, which, you know, she kind of was.
But she let her live in the house.
There's a little bit of a reason for it. And the two of them would fight and bicker constantly. Alfie said he never saw them hit each other, but he would see or hear them, like, push each other.
Yeah.
And so he was like, you know, I'd have to break that up a little bit sometimes or when it got really heated. But, like, I never saw them actually strike each other.
And you're saying, like, push each other, like, verbally.
Yeah. And I think they would do, like, a little shove here
and
there.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like, nothing crazy, though. She was like, they never, like, shoved each other down or anything. It was, like, a little push here
right.
and there.
Okay.
And that's when he would break things up. Oftentimes, I guess it would happen when he would go to work for the day. They would, because neighbors would hear, like, all the neighbors would hear. They lived next door to, like, a mill factory, and I guess all the factory workers out there were like, oh, we were very used to hearing the two of them screaming at each other.
It's like your work time entertainment.
Yeah, they're just like, whatever. Now, so knowing all this and knowing that Martha Haney ended up being right on scene, which we will get into, Martha Haney was arrested for the murder of Mariah.
Believable.
So... She was arrested at the scene of the crime, and they found her in the backyard digging with her hands in the backyard.
That's no good.
And just, like, mumbling to herself. When they walked up to her in the backyard, they were like, hey, what you doing, Martha? And she was like, I just killed my mother-in-law in there.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, cool, cool, all right.
They were so like, they were yeah, like, we saw that.
They were like, we definitely saw that. Thank
smelled
you.
It, too.
So they got her. They arrested her. Again, she was fully... She was... Very quiet. The only thing she would say is, like, yes, I did it.
Wow.
Yes. And they were like, really? And she was like, I cut her head off.
And like, they were like, yes, we know.
And they were like, all right. So they brought her directly into the village lockup, which is, like, where you would go before jail.
Mm-hmm.
She was described as acting very peculiar. Her appearance at the time was very emaciated. She was, like, a waif.
Interesting.
Very small. She had, like, dark hair, dark eyes. And they said she had, like, a very sunken in face. Like, she was just a little
really scary.
She was a little scary. The village, so they ended up going, you know, she's being held at this lockup. Now they have to talk to her.
Yeah.
But she's acting a little off.
And they're like, you go do it. No, you go do
it. Yeah, please, you go in there.
I talked to her yesterday.
I don't want to talk to her. So the village health officer, Dr. Frank Sumway, was called in to evaluate her mental state. Because immediately... Anybody who didn't know her would look at her and be like, something's off here. Like, let's go take a look. People who knew her in the village were like, oh, yeah, like, something's wrong with her. Like,
right.
She's definitely not sane.
Okay.
So this was already like, okay, we got to see what's going on here. So Dr. Frank Sumway had an incredible mustache. I feel it's important. We're just...
we're going to move right along from
had
that.
An incredible mustache and went in to talk the to Martha. End.
And he was, that's literally all I have to say about that.
I love just, you so much. That yes. was, you just like, you get me.
He did. He had an incredible mustache.
I love it.
So who doesn't trust that? So when he was told who the killer was suspected to be, he said he wasn't very surprised. Like he was like, oh,
I know her.
Martha Haney. All right. And he was like, that's okay.
He was like, we'll I was waiting for this day.
He said, you know, I've seen her around town. And he said he was, every time he saw her around town, he's a doctor after all. He was like, I was very concerned about her mental state. And he was like, but obviously no one's going to walk up to someone and be like, hey, are you insane?
Right.
Like, do you want me to talk to you?
Right.
So she would just be like, whatever. Now, the thing is, she had actually been scheduled to have an appointment with him that morning.
That they found
the
her
morning
in the
of the murder.
Mm.
But she hadn't showed up.
It would have been a great time for that.
I'm saying. And the person who had made the appointment was Alfie.
Oh,
and
no.
We're going to get into that whole thing because Alfie's going to explain what happened there. But she never showed up. So he and another doctor, Dr. Shaw, went into the lockup to examine her. She really didn't want to talk to anybody. She would not talk to the police.
Uh-huh.
Like, wouldn't even look at them, nothing. She would kind of answer the doctors, but only really, like, nodding at them and stuff.
That is really spooky.
Yeah. And she was sitting on the floor, they said, wrapped in a blanket.
That's even spookier.
Yeah. And they asked her what happened, and she said, I killed my mother-in-law.
We know, but why,
and
girl?
They were like, after saying this, she just stared at them blankly.
Oh, no.
Which, to me, when I read it in the book, I was like, oh, God.
That's terrifying.
They then said, you know, what exactly happened? And she just stayed quiet. So they were like, all right, she's not going to talk. Like, they tried a few times.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to give them anything else. They kind of saw what they needed to see. As they were leaving, she was like, wait.
No.
And they were like, what?
We're done here today, Martha.
It was almost the perfect crime. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal? A pile of Monopoly money from the banker. Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out our most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault, even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Go download it now free on the App Store or Google Play. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Guys, I am obsessed with Astapro, and you should be too, because seasonal allergies are a freaking bummer. They make me feel like crud, they make me sneeze, they make my boogies all yucca, and it's just really kind of gross. But Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter OTC allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Have you tried Astapro, Elena? Because I'm obsessed.
I have, and it's so fast!
It's so fast! Astapro, it's faster, bro. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. It's faster, bro. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
And she was like, all right, here's the deal. You know, we argued something about a photo, and which I'm going to get into the details later.
Mm-hmm. I knew but, that was going to come back.
Yeah, something about a photo that she had put in a frame that belonged to Mariah.
Okay.
And she left out the part, like a big part of this, but she's like, yep, I put this photo in the frame. She was pissed when she saw this and she hit me.
Okay.
So she said, we got really angry. I was really angry at her for that. We started screaming. The workers at the mill also said they heard this whole fight happen.
Yeah.
At one point, some of the workers at the mill said that they
heard Martha storm, or they saw Martha storm out of the house and like just get angry on the front lawn, like by herself. And they were like, oh, what's happening?
Uh-oh.
And then she tried to go back in and Mariah had locked the front door.
Oh, that will infuriate you.
This is what really pissed her off.
Like, if really you're going to snap, that's when it's going to happen.
And so they were like, okay, well, you know, this sounds like this was a bigger fight than like just you put a picture in a frame. Like, what?
Yeah,
like,
what, I don't understand what, was the what pic?
That's about. So she was like, well, the photo was like, you know, the photo was her, Mariah, the victim, her late husband was in the photo frame.
Mm-hmm.
And what Martha did was take the photo out and put a photo in of her three kids.
Yeah.
And what we're going to find out later is that she doesn't have those three kids anymore. And no one's quite sure exactly where they went.
Shut the fuck up.
So that's weird that she suddenly, in the middle of the day, just took this photo of her late husband out of the photo and put her kids so that no one knows really what happened to
Martha's
them in there.
Kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to get into that. Don't worry. We're going to talk about Martha.
We are.
We are. And so this Mariah came back in because Mariah at 80 to 85 years old, was doing chores outside
when this
happened. Walked in, saw that she had done that and was like, what the fuck? Where's the picture of her husband's name is John?
Yeah, this is my fucking house.
And she was like, where's the picture of John?
Yeah.
Like, where is that? And she wouldn't answer her. And she was like, where's the picture? Like, she was pissed about the picture.
I would be mad too.
So what happened was Mariah like hit her on the back of the... on her back.
Yeah,
basically
like,
just
hey,
like hit her like, hey, answer me.
Yeah.
And then all hell broke loose. So those workers that had seen Martha like storm out of the house and try to get back in, they were like, shit was going down. Like, but but they fight all the time. So we just thought they were having this like big
tiff. We decided to take lunch and check it out.
And honestly, they were like, we were just watching it for a while. And then they said they saw Martha looking around for something in the backyard.
An axe.
But she did it a long time. So they just were like, whatever, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And they just stopped paying attention while she was looking for the axe. She got the axe. She ended up walking up to the front of the house and destroying the front door with the house. So this poor 85-year-old woman is in this house watching her daughter-in-law axe herself like Jack Nicholson in The Shining through the front door.
Here's Martha.
Here's Martha.
My God.
It's like, holy shit. And that's why when the police came here, that whole thing was hanging on one hinge Martha had busted her way through.
Wilding.
It's insane.
You don't expect a lady named Martha to be out here wilding.
You don't. You really don't.
You don't expect
and
it.
And she's tiny. She's like this thin. And so is Mariah.
Those ones always wild the hardest.
But what she did was they think she first hit Mariah with the blunt end of the axe to the face.
Ouch.
And that knocked her down and then hit her with the sharp end to the face and knocked her out.
Oh.
Then she just, by her own admission, stomped on her as hard as she could with her own feet.
That is always so
personal. She said she broke ribs. She broke anything she could. She just kept stomping.
And she's probably still alive.
In her own words. Oh, yeah. And she said that she could hear her, like, gurgling and breathing through most of this.
Fucked.
In her own words, she said, I don't know. I killed her anyway. And then I got on her with my feet and jumped on her as hard as I could. Yes, I did. My mother told me to kill her.
Oh, no. I feel like your mom is dead and you shouldn't be talking to her.
Hey, nailed it.
I knew it.
Interesting, because Susan Pierce, her mother, had died 7 years prior in Ionia. So that's weird that, you know, she's dead and she's like, my mom told me to do that.
Yeah, that doesn't
make
any sense.
Your mom didn't know your mother-in-law because you've only been married for like 3 or 4 years. So... what?
Right.
So this struck them as interesting. So they were like, okay, that's interesting. So they said, okay, cool. Does she talk to you a lot? And she said, oh yeah, she talks to me all the time.
I was literally going to say all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And then she said, you know, she was speaking to her a lot more lately and she was telling her to kill the old woman.
Of course.
And she said that she was talking to her while she was committing the murder, in fact, and, like, encouraging her to do it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a supportive mom, I guess.
That's really sad.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
And I guess she was telling her, what she was saying was that her mom kept telling her, you need to kill that old woman before she kills you.
Oh.
So she was like, oh, shit.
So she probably had, like, paranoid schizophrenia?
Yeah, I think that's actually what... Everything that I've read says that today she would likely be diagnosed with that. I am not diagnosing her with
that. No.
I'm not saying anything about that, so That's I have no idea what's wrong. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe she was faking this whole thing. We have no idea. Yeah, like, I don't literally know. No idea.
This was 1897, no, so I have no fucking idea.
But it's everything I have seen has said they would say today she was probably being, she would be diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia.
Yeah.
But yeah. So then she continued on telling them the next parts that happened. Mm-hmm. She was like, let me just lay this all out for you.
I love that they were going to leave. And she was like, you know what?
She was like, let me just tell you everything. So then she said another hit in the head to Mariah opened up her skull. That was the reason there was gray hair all over the floor, Mariah, when you first walked in, and those gouges on the floor.
Uh-huh.
She had literally embedded the axe into the floor. So they were like, oh, fun. And they were like, what happened next, Martha? And she said, quote, I said, hold on now. And I turned her over and I killed her. And she did not kill me.
Nope, she did not. You're here right now telling us.
Correct.
Accurate. Accurate information.
All right. True. So she said two more blows severed her head from her neck pretty cleanly as she lay there on the floor. Then she picked up the head by the hair and placed it on a platter on the table. Why? She also intentionally set Mariah's head to face Alfie's place at the table.
That's weird.
Because it was supposed to be a gift to him.
Oh, so she's mad at Alfie too.
Which by all accounts, not really sure why.
Okay.
They didn't really, there was no like indication that they were, you know, he was violent or anything.
Well, with people that hate their mother-in-laws, I feel like that's a thing. Like,
well, and I think this is also just definitely just mental illness.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is just all that.
Yeah.
She said that she was then worried about what to do with the rest of the body because, I have a head on a plate. What do I do with the rest of it? Because she was like, I can't bring it outside because the mill workers are going to see me dragging it outside.
Yeah.
So she did have the forethought to think that. So she was like, all right, I'll just pour kerosene from the oil lamp in the other room on her and light her on fire. Now, according to Hell I Must Go, she used coals from the stove in a heated frying pan and put them between Mariah's legs and let it smolder and create a fire.
What?
Which I thought was interesting because when I first heard she lit the body on fire, I was like, how though? Like,
yeah.
How did she do that? But that's crazy. She just lit coals in a heated pan and put it under her, like between her legs, and then it just smoldered and caught fire.
This is really fucked up to say, but she literally made her like a heat. I forgot the word.
Yeah, she did. She
like,
did that.
What are those stoves called that like people in Maine have in their houses?
Like a coal burning stove.
No, it's a different thing.
I don't know.
You wouldn't get it.
She just made her one of those stoves.
She made her. I forget.
Unfortunately. Now, so they were like, okay, thanks, Martha. And when they left, they were like, yeah, I'm pretty sure she's not sane. Mm-mm. I think we can both say that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Martha Haney, who she is as a person.
I thought we just did.
No, we're going to talk about her before this. So Martha Haney was somewhere in the middle of seven children. Her siblings were Richard, William, George, Esther, Florence, and Audie, who died at the age of 12.
Oh, those are all really cute names.
Now, by all accounts, she had like a terrible childhood, but there's no information about it. We don't know why it was terrible. You don't know how terrible, just it was terrible.
Okay.
So it's like, okay. In fact, her brother Richard, who comes up later, had said, you know, that he knew what she had endured her whole life in childhood and like was really sad that this is who she had become.
Okay.
But like nothing else than that. Now, when she was only 16 years old, she married a 21-year-old, a man named John Woodard, in 1884. They had three children. He left, but no one could tell where the children went.
That he didn't take them?
He did not take those children. She had told Alfie that the two older children were living in Ohio and Pennsylvania, having been given up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
But the youngest was the real mystery. Alfie said that the story he heard and a lot of other people heard from her own parents was that she left one day with the child who was under the age of two and was her youngest, and she returned a couple of days later without that child.
Okay, so she killed that
and
child.
And she said she gave it away.
Okay.
So people believed she may have killed that child.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Well, a newspaper article that in May 6th, 1897, the Ingham County News said, quote, any suspicion that Martha Haney ever currently disposed of her child while living in Wheatfield several years ago is all wrong.
Oh.
She did the best of it and placed it in the charge of Reverend W.S. Sly of Lansing, the gentleman who has done such an excellent work with homeless children.
So she did give the baby away.
Now, looking it up, I did find that this guy, and Rod Sadler also talks about it in his book, that this guy, like, actually did this. Like, wow. He would take children. He would, like, he actually was, like, a really good person.
Great.
So he apparently did confirm that her and her sister Florence had gone to him to give her son away. His name was George, and he was only 10 months old.
Oh, my goodness.
And he ran this orphanage. He had taken her. So he did confirm that that child was given away.
Okay.
So the other two children, she claims the same happened, but nobody can really confirm that.
Huh.
But, you know, who knows? If she gave this one away, I imagine she gave the other two up for adoption. I mean, good on her, because she clearly shouldn't be raising children in this kind of state that she was in.
Do you think she realized that and that's why she gave them away?
I wonder if she did.
If she had some form of self-realization.
I feel like she had some kind of self-realization that, like, I cannot provide by myself for these children, like the emotional and stability that I need to. So, like, if she did do that, good on her.
Yeah.
So, and her sister Florence did say she was happy she was doing it because she said the same thing. She was not going to be able to properly care for these children.
Well, that's good.
So, Alfie and Martha had gotten married in 1894. They had originally lived together with his mother Mariah and her husband John in Mariah and John's farmhouse.
Okay.
John was a Civil War vet, but he had passed away, like, years earlier. And they were having trouble keeping up at the farm that their parents had originally run. So they left that place, and that's when Alfie got this tiny little house for him, Mariah, and Martha.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Alfie who was the one who found his dead mother that day.
Oh, no.
He was the one who had called police. Right. Now, I feel so bad for Alfie.
Me too,
really,
because he lost two people.
So, yeah. So, obviously, they were like, because he found the mother, we got to go talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, they found him at a pub. He was drinking with his friends. His friends were trying to, like, cheer him up.
Yeah.
He was just, like, sitting there crying. Because, again, he's losing his wife and his mother.
Right.
So, when investigators picked him up at the pub, he was an absolute mess. They said he was so upset. But they asked him, you know, you got to give us a little background here. Like, how was your marriage? You got to tell us what's going on.
Are you the kind of person who loves a touch-up on the go, or maybe you're a full glam while in the carpool kind of human? Maybe there's no time for a full face in the morning between kids, pets, work, all of that. Maybe you woke up late. Well, Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation is perfect for those moments when life moves fast. I absolutely love this foundation because it doesn't settle into any fine lines or wrinkles, and you can just toss this thing in your purse. You say, oh my gosh, I have a little smudge right here. Let me fix it really quick. It's perfect. And it's now in 16 shades. It offers SPF 20, which, like, that's amazing. It's got moisturizing pro vitamin B5. And I love the applicator. It's a blurring sponge. So you can just tap, tap, tap it to reset your foundation and you are good. Shop Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Now, Alfie was a laborer. They did not have a lot of money because Martha stayed home. And he would basically just take work whenever he could, like road work, like hard labor, anything. And he just would take it wherever he can get it. They often were given help from the rest of the community, I guess. Like the village would help them out.
That's nice.
Alfie told investigators that their home was, quote, cheerless.
Oh.
Which is, like, the saddest thing
I've
ever heard.
That's what I'm picturing, though.
Yeah. And he said Martha was sick a lot, and she was very off a lot, and it was getting worse and worse recently. And, you know, her and Mariah just hated each other, and it seemed like they were always fighting. Martha wouldn't sleep in bed with him. Like, it was just very weird.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the emotional states in that house were always shifting crazily. So he said he often heard Martha speaking to people that weren't there.
Oh.
And this started, like, right after they got married.
Oh, gosh.
And she also had a very scary temper.
Oh, okay.
And it would, like, snap into just boom.
With, like,
an explosive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No warning.
And in the 3 weeks leading up to the murder, he said that the talking to voices who weren't there thing was happening every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way more. And she was losing her shit a lot,
mm-hmm.
like, could not. And he said it got to the point where he, like, within those last few weeks, he said he was really scared to leave his mom alone with her while he went to work.
I know, but it's like, what is he going to do?
And he would say, like, it was that, or he's like, I literally couldn't miss a day's wages. I had to make money, or we wouldn't be able to sleep in this house or eat or anything.
Right.
So he then explained how they both had come to the decision eventually to have her see Dr. Shumway. He had the first doctor that had walked in there and was like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
So what had happened was Alfie was working on a road job. Mm-hmm. And this was like, I think the day before the murder. Mm-hmm. And he had seen the doctor walking by and he was like, you know what? I got to ask him. Which I'm like, good for Alfie.
What a good husband.
So he got himself together and he like walked up to him and he was like, can I just like ask you about my wife? And yeah. He was like, can you talk to my wife? So the doctor agreed. He was like, yeah, bring her in. I'll talk to her. So he had gone home. He had told his mom about it. And his mom was like, she's not going to agree to that. Like, she's going to lose her shit. Like, but Godspeed. And she was right, because when he brought it up to Martha, she lost her shit. Somehow he had managed to convince her to agree to mm-hmm. go to the appointment. And it, you know, he was like, all right, things are going to get better. This is going to be fine. But then she started blaming Mariah and saying Mariah was the one who was forcing her to go to get like this doctor. She was the one who thought she was crazy. Mm-hmm. And Alfie was like, no, she has nothing to do with this. I'm the one who wants you to do this. And
right.
She was like, no, it's Mariah. So okay. She immediately had it in her head. Pass like, this the is buck. Her. But then the next morning, Alfie wakes up to go to work, or not to go to work, to go to the appointment. Mm-hmm. And he was, I think this was a Friday. And he was like, I woke up and saw her and she was smiling. And he was like, and genuinely smiling. And he was like, I had not seen her smile in forever.
That's almost like ominous.
Well, and he was like, at first I was like, what is happening? And she was like, I feel so much better than I felt in weeks and weeks.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, maybe it was just the idea of going to the doctor that made me like, you know, like snap out of it. And like, you know, she was like, I do want to talk to the doctor, but why don't we do it tomorrow morning?
Wow.
Yeah. And he was like, and she kind of did like, you know, you don't want to miss out on money and tomorrow's Saturday. Wow. So, and he was like, you know what? He was willing to miss a day's pay for it, but he was like, why do it when she's willing to go tomorrow?
Yeah. We can always go tomorrow.
And he obviously wasn't thinking that anything this bad was going to happen. No, so he agreed. Not. He was like, all right, I'll take her on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I'll take her tomorrow morning. It's fine. I feel so bad for this guy.
I know.
He said he came home from lunch for lunch from work that day. Mm-hmm. He was like he always does. And he was like, when I walked up to the house, I noticed this like terrible odor coming from the house.
No.
And he's like, and the door is off the hinges and I can see smoke.
He's probably like, what the hell is going on?
And he was like,
on?
Holy shit. So he was like, oh my God, the house is on fire. So he runs in there. And he's like, I got to get my mom out and my wife mm-hmm. out. Like, I got to help everybody. He runs in and immediately sees his mother's head staring at him from the fucking platter. So neighbors said that, and the people at the mill said they heard his blood-curdling scream.
Can you imagine?
And they saw him run out of the house because he was running straight for the sheriff's office. Yeah. He was like, fuck. And they said they saw him running straight out. So his neighbors saw the smoke coming from the house and they saw him run out of the house. So they were like, holy shit, the house is on fire. We have to help.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, all right, well, he's going to get maybe the fire department will help and try to stop this.
Oh my God.
So they used a pump because it was a water pump. That's all they had to fill buckets of water and throw them through the kitchen window, which is why the kitchen was covered in water. They did this. They kept doing it over and over. This is when another, and I guess they'd also like smashed the window in the bedroom.
Tried to get in.
And poured it in there because they didn't know where the smoke was coming from. So that's why there was water all in there too.
Oh, okay.
So this is when another neighbor who had actually worked at the mill next door walked over and was like, what the fuck is going on? So he grabs a bucket of water and he runs into the house because he's like, you know what? I'll try to get it in from the inside. So he runs right to the lump he saw smoldering on the kitchen floor, and he couldn't tell what it was, but it was he could see that it was where the most things were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So he just dumped the water bucket on it.
Oh my God.
He then realized he was looking at a smoking, decapitated body.
Yeah, that'll fuck you up.
So that's when he himself looked up and saw Mariah's head on the table.
And that'll fuck you up even further.
And he said later that he looked over and saw Martha just calmly walk out of the bedroom with just underwear on.
What?
And she looked at him and then was like, ugh, and just like walked back into the bedroom, put on a dress and came back out. Like she was like, fucking A. Like, why are you in my house? I'm in my underwear.
What the
And what had
fuck?
Happened she was Martha had taken off the dress she had worn when she killed Mariah and put it on
blood.
Top of Mariah and lit it on fire.
Oh, that is very Lizzie Borden.
Which is very, like, there's certain parts of this where I'm like, there was a little bit of cunning in here. Like, that's not totally, like,
yeah.
Like,
I wonder if she, you know, you don't know.
You just don't know. You
she
really
could have
don't
said,
know.
I've been hearing all these voices.
She could. There's no proof that says that she was, you know, you just don't know.
She wasn't diagnosed. You don't
so,
know.
So, we don't know. So
don't
she,
know.
We don't know. So, she put on a dress. She comes back out. She lays on the couch for a second. And meanwhile, this guy, so this guy's name was John Robinson, I believe.
Okay.
And he's just sitting there watching her, like holding this empty bucket of water, standing in this kitchen with a decapitated old woman's head and a decapitated body on the floor that he just poured water on. And he's mm-hmm. like, and she lays on the couch. And then she just gets up and starts peeling the wallpaper off the walls in the living room. So he was like, I'm gonna go. So he
that
just
is
walked
so
out
scary.
The back. So he goes running out the back and he's like, what the fuck? And she followed him out the back door and then starts kneeling down in the backyard and is digging the dirt
grave.
With her hands. And people think that she was digging to put the body in there.
What the fuck?
Now, by this time, the mill workers and people around the village are starting to crowd around this house because it's a small little like hamlet
yeah.
kind of thing. So it's like a bunch of people coming. Everyone's like, what the fuck is going on? They're hearing screaming. They're hearing nuts, like crazy stuff. So meanwhile, Elfie had reached the deputy sheriff, Deputy Loringer, and had which we talked about in the first part.
Yes.
And brought him back to the house.
Okay. And this is Rod's great-great-grandfather.
This is not the great-great-grandfather. This is the deputy sheriff.
Oh.
The sheriff, Rel JJ, is the one that's his great-great-grandfather.
Gotcha.
So John Robinson, the guy who had seen all this happen and is the only one who has been inside the house besides Elfie,
mm-hmm.
He had Loringer come to the backyard and he was like,
there she be.
Here she is. Martha's still digging with her hands in the ground. And they said she looked completely blankly at them when they asked her what was going on. And then she just coldly said, I killed my mother-in-law.
Oh my God.
And they were like, you did? And she was like, I cut off her head. It's in there.
And I also decided that I was going to change the wallpaper.
So this is when she was restrained and brought to the lockup where the doctor spoke to her. This is when Loringer went inside the house. He saw everything inside, immediately was retching and gagging like the rest of the officers later. He had some dudes come to like stand guard at the house to not let anybody in while mm-hmm. he followed her to the lockup.
Smart for 1897.
They were kind of on it.
Yeah.
I will give it to them. It gets weird, but like they were
it always
the best
does.
They could.
It always does.
So now that Martha was in custody and they had been, you know, she had been interviewed, Alfie had been smoking too about the day's events, there was now the next thing to be done, which is the coroner's inquest.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a coroner's inquest is done to prove that a crime has been committed.
I think you just have to hold up the head and you could be like, hey,
yeah.
crime.
I mean, like, a crime was indeed
guilty
committed
of
here.
Crime.
What is insane is that the inquest had to take place in the house.
Uh-huh.
So according to Hell I Must Go, the law says, quote, and there, in view of the dead body, shall the justice of the peace administer the oath.
Wow.
So they had to drag six men that they chose or who had to volunteer. They had to be law-abiding men, like as jurors.
Yeah.
They just had to go like find them too. And they had to drag them into this crime scene, take this oath, and then determine whether a crime happened.
Yes.
Like, holy shit.
I'd be like, can we just skip the oath? Yes.
What if one of them was like, you know,
I'm not sure.
I'm just not convinced that this was criminal. Sometimes a head will just decide
right
it's
off.
Done hanging out with its given body and it'll just dip.
I've seen it happen.
And prove that it didn't happen.
Tell me.
Prove to me.
And they could be like, well, the house
and
is
honestly,
on fire and there's blood everywhere.
And when I was saying this in my, I was like, yeah, like that's silly. And then I was like, but honestly, in an era where crazy shit was happening all the time and like believed all the time, that's really not that far fetched.
He could have walked in the house and just been like, witchcraft.
Because honestly, and I was like, you know what? People thought back then that something called ring turning was like real. And let me tell you a quick little side because I started looking up like 1890s things. Holy shit.
What is ring turning?
So ring turning was from the 1890s and it was that a woman would meet men with rings on their fingers. And when they did that, they would turn the ring a couple of times. They would do this 24 times in a row with 24 different ring-wearing fellas, and then immediately they would have to find a man or a woman with a wedding ring on. You would turn their ring two times, and the next man you shake hands with, that's your husband.
So all you have to do is find 24 men and then turn their rings around, and then you have to...
Then you have to find a married man or woman, turn their wedding ring twice, and then the next man you shake hands with, that's your husband.
So basically, you just have to turn 25 rings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Simple.
Good to know.
But people believed that then, so honestly, it's not shocking to me that they had to have this very formal coroner's inquest in the crime scene to be like... Yes, crime committed here.
Life was weird.
Yeah, life was real strange
for them.
So either way, back to the task at hand. So these six jurors were just six law-abiding dudes that they just ran downtown and grabbed out of a pub somewhere.
I'm surprised they didn't just, like, go to the mill.
How awesome would that be?
Like, you would die to be one of those
people. Wanna come down to the most gnarly crime scene ever fathomed and just tell me whether it's a crime scene or not?
You would be that bitch in the corner of a bar, like, sipping on a brew, and you'd be like, oh my god, I wanna go so bad!
Hold my beer! I'm coming!
Pick me! And they'd be like, you're a woman.
You're a woman and you've shown your ankles. Arrest her!
They'd be like, what are you doing in a pub? Get the fuck out.
I'd be like, god damn.
Go have a baby.
No, I would be on that. I would go get a fake majestic mustache and I'd be like, me, I'm the one.
Tis I.
Bring me there. So the law for this says, quote, the jury, upon inspection of the dead body and after hearing the testimony of the witnesses and making all needful inquiries, shall draw upon and deliver to the justice of the priests their inquisition under their hands, in which they shall find and certify when, in what manner, and by what means the deceased came to his death, and his name, if known, together with all the material circumstances attending his death. And if it appear that he came to his death by unlawful means, the jurors shall forthwith state with the guilty, either as principal or accessory, or were in any manner the cause of his death, if known.
Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the best-selling true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
You lost me for a minute. I was literally thinking about what I was going to cook
Honestly,
for dinner.
The only reason why I wanted to read that was because it says forthwith.
Elena's just going to put forthwith in all of the episodes. You're going to get to the end and she's going to be like, and forthwith.
And forthwith, I say.
Keep it weird.
I am. So they did manage to get six dudes to volunteer for this.
Forthwith.
Just went and grabbed them down there, brought them back to the crime scene. And I guess they were all like, oh, it really smells out here. I don't know if this is a great idea.
Smells of crime. I think she did it.
Yeah, they were like, I don't know if anyone really told us what this was about.
No.
So they're like, we're here. Let's do this. So the sheriff described the scene and the telegram he sent, and they determined that, yes, a crime had occurred.
Yeah.
Next was to take a look at Martha's mental state at the time of the murder.
Yeah.
Because now they've gotten the coroner's inquest over with. Because by all accounts, yes, a crime occurred.
Yes, crime.
So they're like, let's look at Martha. The next morning on Saturday was Mariah's funeral at the Baptist church in the village.
Like, that's boom, so right sad. Away. 85, and that's
how you go out.
Like, I'd be so mad at Alfie.
I'd be like, I told you.
I stayed telling you.
And I feel bad for Alfie, because then Alfie and his siblings, he had a brother, Riley, and a sister, Louise, were in attendance, as well as many of the villagers, the whole community.
I would be a little mad if I was Alfie's brother or sister, too. I'd be like,
I'd be a little mad.
Can you pick them better?
I'd be like, not a great choice. So Martha was transferred to the jail officially from lockup. Almost catatonic, they said, like, just staring blankly, like, wouldn't even, no emotion. The sheriff and Sheriff JJ, like, Rod Sadler's great-great-grandfather.
Yes.
Ended up sleeping on a cot outside of her cell in the jail that first night because he was worried.
Wow.
Like, he was worried she was going to take her own life. He was worried that because she was, like, losing her shit in there once she got put in the jail.
She's not someone I would want to spend the night with.
No. And she cried all night, or she paced, or just wailed. The next morning, she repeated to him that she had killed her and said that she had hit her. She said, my mother-in-law hit me in the back with something, and I thought she was trying to kill me. That's what she said. And she said that she would have killed me if I'd let her.
They were
like, probably not. She was 85. But he was like, do you feel bad? And she said, no. And then she said, I don't feel bad because I didn't do it to be mean.
Murder is always mean.
It's never taken any other way just other than like
mean-spirited. It's not a good deed.
It's never taken as like, huh?
Well, you know, I didn't murder her with malicious intent.
Just it's always mean.
Yikes.
Like hate you're mean. I hate to tell you.
Meanie, number one, right there.
It was mean what you did.
Meanie Martha.
I'd be like, I'm sorry, it was kind of mean.
I hate to break it to you, but you're kind of an asshole.
But he also said that while she said this whole thing, she was grinning the entire
time.
Oh
no. Yeah.
And like
she scares the shit out of me.
She's like real scary.
I am terrified.
Yeah, she's real scary.
She was like, I didn't mean to be mean.
And she does these things where you're like, oh god, murder.
Yeah, ew, I just got full chills.
And then all
chills.
Of a sudden she'll flip into like you're like, oh no, like something's wrong. So it's like
everything is wrong with this situation.
She started banging her head against the steel bars.
Oh no, Martha.
To
come
the point
on.
Where she was like bleeding and clearly trying to like kill herself.
What the fuck are
And then she would go between singing and praying and screaming and crying.
No.
Clearly she was unwell. After she hit her head so hard on the bars, they talked to another doctor who said, he was like, oh yeah, I know Martha Haney. And then he was like, I tried to have her committed before. Like I tried to get someone to commit
to
her.
To help her.
And he said he had actually encouraged her brother Richard to apply to have her taken into care.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know exactly what happened there, if he had tried or not.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, I tried. Like, I know about this lady.
Right.
Her brother Richard actually came to visit her in jail. And when she saw him, she claimed she didn't know him.
Interesting.
And he was like, it's me, it's Richard. And she said, no, Jesus got him. I don't know you.
Oh, I, yeah.
See?
There's
and that's
definitely
what,
something
it's like,
going
throughout
on.
Throughout this, you're like, what? And then it gets to this part and you're like, oh, yeah.
She
like,
was definitely off like struggling with her mental
and,
wellness.
Yeah. And she started praying and she started singing a song.
No, stop
and
it.
And the song is, oh, I can't go to heaven. To hell I must go. Murderers don't go to heaven, and that is where I'm bound to go.
Is that a Martha original?
I think that's a Martha original. Okay. I'm not positive.
Alrighty.
She said this, she sang this a ton of times over and over. She just kept repeating it, getting like louder and louder. But then she fell on the floor in an epileptic seizure.
Oh my god!
So, yeah. So then it's like, whoa! Okay.
She had an epileptic seizure in the middle of this?
Epileptic seizure.
Okay, I don't know if this is a really stupid question. Can stress bring on a seizure? If you have epilepsy,
I would imagine
and
it does.
Clearly,
yeah.
She must have.
Yeah, because I know that there had been like talk that she was epileptic, but Alfie said he never saw her have an epileptic fit.
But you can
called.
Go like,
but you can go a long
super
time.
Long time.
Yeah, so maybe this just brought it on.
Yeah.
She went to court and three doctors, Dr. Sidney Culver, Dr. Alexander McMillan, and Dr. E.D. North of Lansing, were brought on to determine whether she was actually insane or not. They agreed that mm-hmm. she was indeed insane. They said, quote, we, the undersigned, appointed by the said court to examine said Martha Haney and to inquire into the facts of her case and report to the same court, do hereby report to said court that in compliance with said appointment, we have carefully examined said Martha Haney and have inquired into the facts of her case and do find that she is at this time insane and without sufficient mental capacity to undertake her defense in this case, and that she has dangerous and criminal tendencies and is wholly irresponsible for her acts. We base our findings on the following history and mental condition. She has always been considered simple and feeble-minded, even as a child. She has been subject to epileptic seizures since she evidently resulted from this epilepsy. She frequently engages in prayer and the singing of devotional songs at inopportune times and places. She presents the appearance of a simple-minded person. Her face lacks expression. Her conversation is disconnected. She seems to be almost wholly deprived of memory, but this loss of memory is partially assumed without any apparent reason. While she sometimes admits the act of killing Mariah Haney, she does not seem to have any conception of the enormity of the crime or even that she has committed a crime. In witness thereof, we affixed our hands this 28th day of April, 1897.
Wow.
So, boom. She was insane, according to these three doctors.
You know, I think so.
Yeah. And it seems like it's like paranoid schizophrenia seems like... Are they making
They're
noises
still
down there?
Yeah.
They're still screaming. I'm sorry. It's my house. So She was found to be insane at the time of the murder, and she was committed to Michigan Asylum for the dangerous and criminally insane.
Oh God, I can only imagine what that was like for her in the 1890s.
It can't have been good. I did find another newspaper article that I just wanted to read some of it. This was for when she was going through her hearing period, like before the doctors got there. It says a preliminary hearing in the, or the title of this is The Williamston Murderess, Undoubtedly Insane.
Murderess.
A preliminary hearing in the Williamston murder case was held before Justice Squires this afternoon, conducted by prosecuting attorney A.M. Cummins. The testimony of but two witnesses was taken, that of Sheriff Rell, under whose constant care the woman has been since the terrible deed, and that of John Robinson of Williamston, who discovered the ghastly crime. John Robinson was the guy who came in and, like, saw her walk out of her room and all that. Absolutely nothing new was disclosed. Probate Judge Porter declined to hear the case as he could not commit to the asylum for criminal insane, and accordingly the proceedings were held today. The case will go before Judge Person of the Circuit Court, and Mrs. Haney will be committed to the asylum for criminally insane in Ionia. The prisoner sat in court, half bent forward, with the expressionless face, unconscious of the gaze of curious spectators, and of the terrible statements being made against her by the witnesses. Occasionally, she would make an incoherent remark, swinging backwards and forwards, constantly applying a handkerchief to her face. She was a most pitiful being to behold. When adjournment was taken, she was half carried from the courtroom between Sheriff Rell and a brother of hers who lives near Mason. And that's Richard. So that's a bummer.
Yeah.
And when you hear that, like, because at first you're like, oh no, like maybe she's faking some of it. And then you hear that and you're like, this does not sound like faking.
No, it sounds really sad
to me. And then I found another article from the Sacramento Daily Union. And it's entitled Shocking Tragedy in Michigan. I love these old newspaper clippings.
The best.
Like my favorite. It says horrible deed committed by an insane woman at Williamston,
which also is like insane. It's just so mean.
Well, in this whole, like, this is so outdated. This
absolutely.
Like horrible deed committed by insane woman.
I mean, if, like, you think about it, language from 10 years ago is like,
is outdated.
Exactly.
So 1890s. This is like, whoa.
Yikes.
Like, holy shit. And it literally says, the worst crime in the history of the city and state. A woman decapitates her mother-in-law and places the head upon the dinner table in front of the son's plate when he sat down to eat.
Yikes.
Like, whoa. And I'll just read a couple of these things because I, again, old-time newspapers.
We love.
The people here were frighteningly shocked at the details of an awful tragedy which had just come to light. Never before in the history of this town, or of the state for that matter, has there been such a horrible crime perpetrated. It appears that Alfred Haney, a respectable and hardworking citizen here, returned home at noon today, and when sitting down to take his dinner, which that's not what happened.
I was going to say, that's lies.
Found his mother's head on a platter in front of him. His wife had gone crazy, cut off the old lady's head, and placed it before her husband for dinner. Haney was shocked, beyond expression, and for some moments sat in his chair in dumb horror.
No.
This is not true.
Like, lies.
Like, what a lying asshole.
Like, the media has always been filthy.
Yeah. His great love for his mother and the thought of her frightful end almost caused his heart to stop beating.
Oh, come on.
With what passed through his mind will probably never be known, as he is a reticent sort of a man who seldom talks, except on rare occasions.
Why do you think he fucking, like, seldom talks now?
He probably doesn't want to talk to you about this shit. After remaining some moments in a dull stupor, he realized that something must be done.
Something needs to be done.
He jumped from his chair and, rushing out of the house, he called on some neighbors for assistance. No, he did not. So then it just goes on, you know. Haney had some enemies in town, but he did not think it possible that they could have been so fiendish as to murder his mother and then shamefully mutilate her.
It doesn't even sound like he had enemies.
Yeah, exactly. And then it says, after a thorough search of the house, they found Haney's wife hiding in one of the upper bedrooms. This was a one floor house.
There was no upper bedroom.
Like, there was no upper bedroom.
And they found her in the backyard.
Yeah. And it says, it did not take very long for them to be confirmed of his suspicions. The woman laughed hysterically and said, "Did you see it?"
Wow.
Which I don't know if she said that. Maybe she said that to someone else.
She may have.
She then shrieked and laughed alternatively until the people who found her were only too glad to escape from her after locking the room securely so she could not get out.
They just locked her in the room.
That's not true.
Okay.
She was outside digging. Then it says a further search revealed the presence of a bloody knife hidden in one of the front rooms. No.
Uh-uh.
Like, it's no just knife, crazy just to axe. Me that they, like, got away with this bullshit. And then it says, it appears they didn't get along very well. The old lady was inclined to be friendly with the wife, but the latter always said that she had no business in the house and ought to go and live somewhere else.
Oy.
When in all actuality, it seems like they both hated each other.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying she deserved anything.
No.
The mother, however, felt that she was entitled to a home with her son, and for that reason, she would not go. It says, the wife had begun to act queerly. She would do the oddest things at all times, and it was then seen that she was verging on insanity. Her husband, however, and friends never for a moment imagined that she would contemplate murder. Once she was seen taking a big bread knife and running her hand over its edge, as though to feel the temper. Her husband asked why she did that, and she smiled and said nothing. Which is like, who are you hearing this from?
Oh, yeah, like, what are your sources? Because they're all incorrect. Yeah.
So it says, and then this, as far as her husband can find out, the deed was committed just before he reached home. No, that's a lot to set up before he reached the house. His mother was accustomed to taking a nap in the forenoon, and it is supposed that while she slept on the lounge, her daughter-in-law approached and severed her head with a big knife.
No.
I just had to read that because I was like, wow. That's so wrong.
That's like where Get Your Facts Straight originated from.
Like, that is very wrong. I'm astounded at how wrong that was. Like, wow, fact checkers.
Yikes.
Sorry if you heard a paper. I like printed out all these newspaper articles because I wanted to make sure to read them.
That's so you.
That's so me. So unfortunately, Martha was committed to Michigan Asylum for the Dangerous and Criminally Insane, which I think we can all agree that mental illness was probably not handled in a great, you know, gentle,
no,
loving, understanding way back then. So I imagine it was not a great place.
Definitely not.
And once she got there, she was immediately diagnosed with consumption. Oh. So they were like, you've had consumption for quite a long time.
That's
how gaunt she looked and how she was losing weight. She had a constant cough, and they thought she was coughing because of the smoke from the crime scene.
Right.
But then Alfie was like, no, she's had that cough.
Oh, wow.
So she had consumption, and tuberculosis was like huge back then. So they were like, oh, good. So it went undiagnosed and untreated.
I wonder if that made her mental health worse.
Who knows? And it's like, and so she ended up dying 17 months later. Of consumption.
Wow.
Yeah. And her, like another little snippet I found on like findagrave.com.
I always go to that when I do
Someone had posted like a newspaper clipping and it said, Mariah Haney, the woman who in April 1897 cut off her mother-in-law's head, which is like, wow, what a way to be known, at Williamston and had it on a platter at the table when her husband came to dinner, died at the Ionia Asylum of consumption last Saturday night. She was not a troublesome patient, but has been very insane ever since she was sent to Ionia.
Yeah.
Way to write. She has not been troublesome, but she has been very insane since she got there.
Not troublesome, like, just insane.
Just very insane.
Like, maybe they're saying just like very sick.
Super insane since she's got here. Unwell. Like very nice. Well, 3 years later, Alfie met a woman named Alice and fell in love.
Alfie and Alice were Alfie destined Alice. To be together.
Yeah, I mean, they were.
Come on.
They moved in together, and then people saw them move in together, and they got in trouble because they weren't married. So they were legit arrested and charged with lewd and lascivious cohabitation. Wow. Yes, that was real.
Wow.
Also, lewd and lascivious cohabitation, band name, I call it.
Lewd and lascivious.
Lewd and lascivious cohabitation, taking the stage.
Wow.
So he pled guilty to it. He was like, guilty as charged. I have lived with this woman and was sentenced to 10 months.
We've been living lewd over here.
We have been lewd and lascivious for days. Alice got 8 months.
Wow.
And when they got out of the clink, they got married.
I believe it.
Good on them. They got married. Seemingly everything was cool.
They should have just given them the chance to get married right then and there.
I know. Like, just marry. It's fine.
Right.
So the Haney house where it all, the house where it happened, that was around for quite a bit.
No, thank you.
It's at 320 Elevator Street, but was burned down by the Williamston Fire Department in 1990.
Ironic.
But the foundation still stands. You can find the...
In 19-
1990.
Wow. So it was around until 1990, the entire structure.
So another 100 years.
People had lived in that house after
That's not a good
idea. Which, no thank you. Mm-mm. I would be good with that.
Bad ideas all around.
So that is the story of Martha Haney.
Girl.
It's insane.
Also, I was like just literally thinking this the entire time. I did not know that Mariah was like an older name.
Yeah.
I thought that was like originated from Mariah Carey.
Yeah, totally.
Mariah Carey
was like me.
Because I feel like everyone I know named Mariah is very trendy.
I mean, who knows if Mariah Haney, maybe she was a trendy lady.
She gives trendy
you
vibes.
You don't know. I don't.
All you know is that she was a kicking at like 85 in the 1890s. I did know that now.
She didn't deserve it. And you know what? Martha Haney, it sounds like, was a very ill woman.
This was a very sad many ways. Case.
And it's like she was ill in many ways. Physically, you know, emotionally, mentally, she was ill.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she lived in a time where it wasn't exactly easy to take care of or to manage or... You know, it was.
I didn't even know what that was, I bet.
And you could be, I mean, you could literally, people thought that mental illness came from being poor sometimes. They literally were like, oh, poverty makes you mentally ill. And it's like, nope, that's not what that is.
No, I think like a lot of rich people are also struggling. So,
you know, affluenza. But.
Oh my God, do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I feel bad for everybody involved here. It got a bum rap.
They did.
They really... Mariah, most of all.
Bummest.
Alfie, for Oof. Sure.
But you know what? He lived happily ever after the end.
I'm glad he got at least a, you know,
a little bump in the road.
A happy life after that. Or from what I could see, I couldn't find anything else that said, besides his arrest for lewd and lascivious cohabitation. I think everybody else was, you know... And then Martha, I just feel bad.
I do too.
So...
You may have just heard my stomach growl.
I don't think anybody did.
I hope not. It was very loud.
But yeah, that's the case of Martha Haney. And go read Rod Sadler's books, because holy shit, there's three of them. I'll link them all.
And what did you do?
Things.
What did you do when you read them?
What did I do when I read them?
Yeah, remember you said in the beginning, you like devoured it. Like, oh,
I did.
Thank you.
Yeah, I ate them up. So, and I will be covering more of his cases, because holy shit.
Hello.
He's a great writer. So go follow. And if you want to see like his whole thing, go to rodsadler.com,
because
he has
whole
a website. His bio is there. You can look at his books. You can see all the craziness.
The whole darn thing.
The whole darn thing. Dude started using like ancestry.com and just was like connecting leaves and was like, holy shit, look at this story.
That's what Papa's
doing. That's
so
cool.
Papa, every time I go to the house, he's like, you know, you got a cousin out in Missouri who was related to Lorenzo. And I'm like, oh, do I?
Do
Papa?
I?
That's cool.
That's great.
I'll write them a letter.
He loves his ancestry.com. And yeah, it's insane. And if you read this book, you know, To Hell I Must Go, there's a ton of other history in there that obviously I did not include because you should read the book.
Duh.
Because, you know, that's the whole point here is go read his book. It goes into the history of the town, the history, you know, further back into these people and the sheriff and all this cool stuff. So definitely go read his book to find out more.
Yay! And you can also go ahead and follow us on Instagram.
At Morbid Podcast.
Hit us up on Twitter.
At A Morbid Podcast.
Send us a Gmail.
MorbidPodcast@gmail.com.
Get some of our merch for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate.
My birthday.
Oh, I was just going to say, or Elena's birthday. I remembered. At shop.morbidpodcast.com.
Do it!
We love you, and we hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it weird!
But that's where you move in with your mother and your, husband. No, your mother-in-law. Okay. But not to worry that you move in with your mother-in-law and your husband and like you're really angry at everybody and then one day you change the photo. I don't know why you wanted to change the photo. Maybe you wanted to warm up the distant memories of your kids that you gave away. I don't really know. And you know, you got mad and you chopped mama up and you went to jail and you started singing and then you died of consumption and so you shouldn't keep it that weird.
Don't keep it that weird.
I had to close my eyes throughout that to remember all the details.
Don't keep it tuberculosis weird. Don't do it.
Keep it TB weird.
Bye.
Peace.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.